Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 27 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Once you get on that site, if you scroll down just a little bit, it's the first square that you see.
Rowan County residents will soon have access to the new Real Identification Cards.
A family in Montgomery County has been hospitalized after their home caught fire earlier this morning.
The city of Pikeville honored a fallen police officer this afternoon.
Senate Bill 1 has been introduced by a Campbellsville Republican who is focused on school safety.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blocked a move to reopen the government today in Washington.
In sports, the Vikings head to Elliott County tonight for a 7:30 matchup.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear with a low around 18. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Rowan County residents will be able to get new identification credentials in mid-April. That's according to a tentative rollout list issued by the State Transportation Department. Applicants requesting a new voluntary travel ID or those applying for a license, permit, or personal ID for the first time must present documentation verifying identity, social security number, and residency. Rowan Circuit Clerk Kim Tabor says Kentuckians are urged to prepare now by gathering documentation and making any necessary updates, which can be found online at drive.ky.gov.
And what that is an interactive tool that you can go through, you know, if you're a U.S. citizen, permanent resident, and it just tells you step by step what you need to bring, what you might need to get if you don't have those documents on hand. At the very end of this, you can print it out or email this out, the documents that you need to bring with you.
Tabor says the new ID requirements do not go into effect until October of 2020, giving everyone plenty of time to renew.
Amidst a government shutdown, friends of a federal employee battling cancer are planning his benefit concert. WYMT reports Dustin Chico works at a federal penitentiary in Martin County. He fought off cancer a couple years ago, but a tumor near his heart recently surfaced. The man's friends have asked local bands to participate in a benefit concert. Michael Johnson is a close friend of Chico and member of the local band Sons of FM. He says he did not hesitate for a chance to help his friend.
He is a good man. He's got a great family, got young children, a good support, and he's going through a very trying situation that he's been battling for a while. And he needs a lot of help, and I want to be involved any way I could.
The concert starts at 7 p.m. in the SIP Theater in downtown Paintsville. Tickets are $15, and all money raised will go towards Chico and his family.
A Montgomery County family is in the hospital after their home caught fire. WKYT reports the fire started around 12:30 this morning on Foster Branch Road. Two adults and two children managed to escape from the blaze. One adult was flown to UK Hospital while the others were taken to another Lexington hospital for smoke inhalation. Fire Chief Jeffrey Jackson says they don't know the details of how the fire started and haven't had a chance to speak with any of the family members. The home is reportedly a total loss.
The city of Pikeville honored the life of a fallen police officer this afternoon. LAX 18 reports Pikeville police officer Scotty Hamilton was shot and killed in March 2018, and the community mourned his loss. Pikeville officials set up a moment of silence and prayer in the parking lot of the Pikeville Police Department. The gathering was set to start at 1:11 p.m., a tribute to Hamilton's badge number 111. Schools throughout Pike County also asked students and staff to wear blue in his honor.
Police in Harrison County are asking for help in the search of an escapee. According to a Facebook post last night, James Lewis escaped from a jailer in Cynthiana. WKYT reports he was last seen near Pleasant Street and Wilson Avenue. Anyone with information is asked to call the Cynthiana Police Department at 859-234-7100.
A Kentucky school teacher is answering to charges after police say she was in a home where minors were consuming alcohol and marijuana. Wave TV reports 36-year-old Lindsay Lewis appeared in a Bullitt County courtroom where her attorney entered a not guilty plea on 14 counts of unlawful transactions with a minor. Lewis is accused of hosting a New Year's party. She was taken into custody early January 1st. The earliest report says officers were sent to the home after neighbors called complaining about teenagers at a party next door. Police say Lewis told officers she was the adult presiding. At least 40 people were inside. Jefferson County Public School spokesman Renee Murphy says Lewis is a special education teacher at Phoenix School of Discovery in London, and the district is examining the situation. Lewis' next court appearance is scheduled for February 26th.
Court documents show that three Kentucky school employees have been charged with criminal abuse involving a special needs student. News outlets report the incident occurred January 3rd at Lincoln County High School in a special education class. A criminal summons for teacher Rebecca Spurlock said teacher's aide Janie Hasty punched the student, who is autistic and nonverbal. Officials say Hasty and another aide, Teresa Sparkman, then twisted the student's arm, pulled him off the floor, and shoved him. The documents say Spurlock did nothing to intervene. A statement from Lincoln County Superintendent Michael Rowe says an investigation is ongoing. He says the district won't tolerate inappropriate contact between adults and students. It wasn't immediately clear whether the women have attorneys.
A former Democratic lobbyist convicted of bribing a top official in Attorney General Andy Beshear's office will spend more than 2.5 years in prison. James Sullivan was sentenced to 33 months and fined $25,000 Thursday by U.S. District Judge Karen Caldwell. Sullivan was convicted last summer of bribing former Deputy Attorney General Tim Longmire in an attempt to win business for some law firms. Prosecutors have said Beshear did not know about the bribe. Sullivan apologized on Thursday for what he called a terrible mistake. Caldwell said the crime was serious and, quote, eats away at the very fiber of our democracy.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet at drive.ky.gov. Preparing now for upcoming changes to driver's licenses and permits can save you time when the new card versions roll out by county in 2019 and continue through spring. A list of the required documents you'll need to bring the next time you renew and to review the rollout schedule for the new mailed credentials online at drive.ky.gov.
Republican Senator Max Wise of Campbellsville has introduced Senate Bill 1, the School Safety and Resiliency Act. The legislation was written with the help of a working group formed in the wake of last year's deadly shooting at Marshall County High School. Wise says the legislation is needed.
Steps have been taken, and steps will continue to be made to help address this topic and to show that this legislative body and this entire Kentucky General Assembly is taking school safety seriously in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
The bill does not call for arming teachers in the classroom. It is expected to be taken up during this legislative session.
Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles has filed his paperwork to seek re-election in 2019. Quarles began his term as an agricultural commissioner in 2016 and served as the youngest statewide elected official in the nation. He is a native Scott Countyan. According to LAX 18, Quarles said in a press release that he is looking forward to hitting the campaign trail. Republican Bill Polyak has filed to run against Quarles in the primary.
Kentucky lawmakers have aired their grievances about a House seat that remains up in the air. Haley Hansen with the Kentucky News Network reports.
Democrat Jim Glenn defeated Republican DJ Johnson by one vote in November. Despite the State Board of Elections certifying Glenn as the winner, Johnson is asking for a recount. Democratic Representative Chris Harris says that's not fair.
Why are we singling out the gentleman from Davis? His race was decided by one vote. But what about races that were decided by 5 votes or 7 votes or 12 votes?
The Kentucky House appointed a committee to hear Johnson's request. I'm Haley Hansen.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blocked a move by Senate Democrats today to get the chamber to vote on spending bills to reopen the government. The partial government shutdown is now on day 20. In a back and forth on the Senate floor, Senate Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, on Thursday called for the Senate to take up legislation advanced by House Democrats to reopen shuttered parts of the federal government and argued that parts of the federal government not related to the border wall should be reopened immediately as negotiations continue over the border wall. But Senate But Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell objected to the move, saying that political stunts are not going to get us anywhere. CNN reports that McConnell has made clear that he won't take up any legislation related to the shutdown in the Senate that President Donald Trump won't sign. And the president has dug in his refusal to sign legislation that does not meet his demand for roughly $5 billion for a border wall, which Democrats refuse to provide.
Americans are dying at an alarming rate from a nationwide opioid crisis and increased suicide rate. And those factors also are contributing to a reduction in life expectancy. Last year, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported a sustained 3-year drop in life expectancy. Those numbers have not been that low since 1918, when it was attributed to deaths from World War I and a flu pandemic. Population health researcher Stephen Bezruka says there are now 35 countries where people live longer lives.
So people's lives are not what they expect to have. And the fact that mortality in adulthood, that is the 25 to 64-year range, the prime of life, that's going up. And people are internalizing the stress of life, and stress kills.
The CDC's preliminary figures say 72,000 people in the U.S. died from drug overdoses in 2017. The number of suicides nationwide was 47,000, the highest in half a century.
New research shows that expansion of the Medicaid program is vital for rural counties. 9 out of the top 10 rural counties nationwide with the highest Medicaid enrollment are in Kentucky, according to research from the University of North Carolina, Shep Center for Health Services Research and the Georgetown University Center for Children and Families. Director Joan Ackler at Georgetown says these are economically challenged counties in the southeast corner of the state where nearly half of adults rely on Medicaid coverage.
Because these rural counties do have high poverty rates, this is Medicaid expansion working to really support not only those folks on Medicaid, but the healthcare infrastructure in those counties, including the rural hospitals.
Ackler contends Kentucky's pending Medicaid waiver would result in considerable coverage loss with ripple effects throughout these counties. Weather for this afternoon, mostly sunny with a high near 31. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 18. Friday, sunny with a high near 36. Friday night, 50% chance of snow, mainly after 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 27. Snow accumulation of less than a half inch is possible. Saturday, snow before 2 p.m., then rain and snow, high near 36, chance of precipitation is at 90%, snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible. Temperatures for Winchester, 29 degrees, Grayson, Flemingsburg, 27 degrees, Ashland and Maysville, Mount Sterling at 28, Inez at 26, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 27 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the new Boyd County jailer has his work cut out for him. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
The Boyd County Detention Center has been affected by a number of negative events over the past couple years. An inmate riot in August of 2017 caused major damage to the jail's interior. Then in November 2018, 16 inmates were indicted after 3 inmates overdosed. 5 employees of the jail were indicted last month after an inmate reportedly died due to mistreatment from those employees. Following this incident, former Boyd County jailer Joe Burchett resigned. The position was not empty for long. Bill Hensley was appointed as the new Boyd County jailer a month before he was slated to take the office. Hensley said the jail was majorly understaffed, and around 60 deputies from jails around the Commonwealth came to help out.
They staffed the jail. And that allowed me to do 2 12-hour days of training with their staff. We did everything from medical to use of force to verbal judo and just lined out my expectations of we want to do things by standard, taught them how the liabilities of stuff, why we do the things we do.
Training is an important point that Hensley wants to focus on. He says the way employees interact with inmates can reflect on how professional the staff and the jail looks.
How to speak to inmates, even though they speak to you a certain way, we don't speak to them a certain way. And just try to foster an atmosphere of professionalism and respect.
Hensley said he recently got in contact with Bear Arms, an indoor firing range facility, to help train staff members on shooting and proper gun procedures.
The firearms training wasn't at the level that I wanted to be at, so we did 4-hour firearms class, went over familiarized firearms, went over the use of force policy, the force continuum, Graham versus Conner, the different laws and how it affects and what is expected when you carry a firearm.
When Hensley took over as jailer, the inmate population was 327, more than 100 inmates over capacity. Although Hensley was able to reduce the population to 220, the number of inmates has already increased since then. Hensley says keeping the population down is important to lessen the load on staff members, and that is something he is working towards.
And it's trying to reduce the population to allow the staff to be able to train and us to rebuild the program with less the stress of that type of population on them.
Aside from personnel training and population control, physical improvements are also being made to the jail. Hensley says the building itself needs a bit of work, too.
Right now, we're putting a roof on. It's about a $300,000 job. It's actively being put on. We have a camera system, but it's not at the level I want it to be at, so I'm working on the camera system. I changed the food up, and the inmates really happy with that. And then, I'm just working on the building itself.
Hensley said jailers from around the state sent in maintenance crews for free to help fix various things. He said the crews worked for days and repaired about $50,000 worth of stuff without charging a cent.
They redid showers for me, they redid doors for me, and they came down just to help us out. They came down and I called and asked guys, jailers that I met and got to know, and they sent their people down and we worked and we got a lot of stuff corrected for free.
Hensley was especially thankful for the help that Greenup County jailer Mike Worthington did for him. All detention centers with female inmates are required to have a female deputy, and although Hensley said he has one on staff, there were times when she wasn't always available.
I had to send people to hospital when I had sick staff, so I needed a female deputy, and he sent his deputies on different occasions to make sure that I was at the staffing levels that I needed till I could get my staffing levels where I was at. So, Mike actually stepped up with even personnel, offered me training, and he's been very, very useful. Very helpful.
Hensley said he's had a lot of support from the community as the new jailer. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 4:47 and 27 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this chilly Thursday afternoon. Joe Lewis has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet at drive.ky.gov. Preparing now for upcoming changes to driver's licenses and permits can save you time when the new card versions roll out by county in 2019 and continue through spring. A list of the required documents you'll need to bring the next time you renew and to review the rollout schedule for the new mailed credentials online at drive.ky.gov.
Rowan gets back on the court this weekend, and MSU heads to Music City for a doubleheader. Those stories and more coming up on your WMKY Sports Report. I'm Joe Lewis. The Vikings boys basketball team travels to Sandy Hook tonight to take on Elliott County. The teams hold the top two spots in the 16th region this week. Rowan is 15-1, while the Lions stand at 12-2. Rowan head coach Sean Thacker says his team needs the win in order to keep the top district seed for postseason play.
Last year, we played ourselves right into that four seed, and hopefully this year we understand that that's a slippery slope that we don't need to be putting ourselves on. So, this game means a lot. When you start looking at postseason implications.
Tip-off tonight is set for 7:30 p.m. In other regional boys action tonight, Raceland plays host to Russell. The Red Devils are 4-11 on the season, while the Rams stand at 7-6. In girls basketball action this evening, number 2 West Carter plays host to Elliott County. The Comets are 12-3 on the season, coming off a 65-52 victory over Morgan County Tuesday night. The Lady Lions stand at 3-12 on their season. Boyd County hosts Greenup, and East Carter hosts Raceland. Tip-off for all those games is set for 7:30. The Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team is hard at work in preparation for a tough contest this weekend. The Lady Vikings will be playing Floyd Central as part of the Kentucky 2A Championship sectional tournaments, and head coach Matt Stokes says his girls will not be underestimating their opponents.
They're a really good team. They're undefeated right now. I watched some game film last night after our Fleming County game, and they have a similar style to us. They like getting up down the floor. They do a lot of zone, full and half court defense with a lot of traps. So they're really quick teams.
Tip off is set for 4 o'clock Saturday at Floyd Central. The winner of that game will go on to play Bell County at 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Morehead State women's basketball team will take the hardwood in front of a national audience on Thursday when they face off against Ohio Valley Conference foe Belmont at the Curb Event Center. The Eagles and Bruins are scheduled for a 5 p.m. tip-off on ESPNU. Morehead State enters the matchup, its first on national television since 2010, with a 10-5 overall record and a 1-1 mark in Ohio Valley Conference play. Belmont enters the matchup at 8-5 and also 1-1 in the OVC. The game will also be broadcast on the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety Eagle Sports Network on 96.3 FM WIVY. Morehead State men's basketball also heads to Tennessee for the weekend, as they're slated to take on both Belmont and Tennessee State. The road trip opens with the Belmont matchup Thursday evening. The Eagles and Bruins will square off at 7:30 p.m. Morehead State head coach Preston Spradlin says it's going to be a tough road test for his team.
They're really talented. They were picked to win our league this year for a reason. Two all-conference returners for them, potential player of the year with Dylan Wendler. Typical Belmont team. They've got great balance. They really shoot the ball from four, sometimes five positions. They got a great size inside. And so it's a game where, you know, we have to play extremely hard. We've got to be locked in, and we've got to be very disciplined.
MSU will be searching for its first road win on the year and its first ever win at the Curb Event Center. Belmont lost its OVC opener for the first time in history last week against Jacksonville State before responding with a 12-point win over Tennessee Tech last Saturday. The game will air live on WIVY 96.3 FM and ESPN+. With the start Keldon Johnson is off to, it should come as no surprise the Kentucky men's basketball freshman guard was among the 25 players on Wednesday's John R. Wooden Award Midseason Top 25. Chosen by a poll of national college basketball experts based on their performances during the first half of the season, the Wooden list is comprised of 25 student-athletes who are front-runners for National Player of the Year. According to WKYT, Johnson is one of five freshmen on the midseason list and one of three players from the Southeastern Conference. And finally, UK junior linebacker Cash Daniel says he's now a member of the Wildcats bass fishing team. According to WYMT, Daniel tweeted the announcement Wednesday evening, saying he is, quote, excited to be part of the UK bass fishing team for the upcoming season, looking forward to being able to fish some good tournaments this year. Daniel is coming off a successful junior season with Kentucky football. He finished with 84 total tackles, with 7.5 tackles for loss. Daniel is from Paintsville, Kentucky. And that's your look at sports. Reporting for WMKY, I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle Basketball welcomes Southeast Missouri for an OVC doubleheader on Thursday, January 17th. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m., and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose, but gains were capped as disappointing holiday sales from Macy's and a revenue guidance cut from American Airlines pressured retail and airline shares. Fear that the U.S. government shutdown might continue for a long time also put a damper on equities markets. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did show a gain of 122.80 at 24,001.92. The S&P 500 was up 11.68 at 2596.64, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 28.99 at 6986.07. Macy's shares tanked more than 18%, their worst day ever, after reporting same-store sales grew by just 1.1% in November and December. The company also cut its earnings and revenue forecast for fiscal 2018. The sharp decline in Macy's shares dragged down the entire retail space. The SPDR S&P Retail Exchange-Traded Fund, symbol XRT, dropped more than 1.5%. Meanwhile, American Airlines fell more than 4% after slashing its revenue growth forecast for the fourth quarter. Shares of JetBlue and Southwest Airlines both fell. Boeing shares were strong today, finishing up 2.5% after Morgan Stanley upgraded them to overweight, citing strength in the company's commercial aerospace business. And in the commodities markets, oil was up again, finishing up 0.3% at $52.53 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,287.20 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a pretty good day today overall. The Stock 600 index was up 0.3%. In Asia, shares were weak, with the Nikkei down 1.3% and the Shanghai Composite down 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Caterpillar, while the worst performers were Pfizer and Merck. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Constellation Brands and GE, while the worst performers were Macy's and Kohl's. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp down 11 cents at 47.30, CSX up 71 cents at 64.69, Lowe's down $1.06 at 95.97, Marathon Petroleum down 55 cents at 63.67, Toyota up $1.57 at 124.49, and AK Steel was down 6 cents to finish at 270. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service. Major Brands offers tire replacement with name brand tires such as BF Goodrich, Kelly, Uniroyal, and Michelin. Vehicle maintenance by certified technicians includes brakes, belts and hoses, steering, batteries, oil changes, and more. Walk-ins or appointments are welcome. Major Brands Tire and Automotive Service in Moorhead and Mount Sterling. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1, and online at majorbrandstire.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, now on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is an Artesian Frameworks exhibit. On display through January 18th, the Arts Center is open weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and admission is free.
The Moorhead History and Railroad Museum offers vintage displays, artifacts, model trains, photographs, videos, and guided tours. The museum is located across from the Moorhead Conference Center on East 1st Street, open to the public, and admission is free. Hours are Friday and Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m.
Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead will host an album release concert by the Wood Sheep at 5 p.m. on Saturday, January 26th. Bring an instrument for a pre-concert jam session. Refreshments will be provided.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held in the Button Hall Drill Room at Moorhead State University from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday, January 30th and 31st. Donors must provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free long sleeve t-shirt.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held at the Moorhead Kroger from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, February 2nd. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, and weigh at least 110 pounds and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free t-shirt.
The Paramount Arts Center in Ashland welcomes magician Bill Blagg at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, February 8th. Tickets are priced from $18 to $38.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Jacob Lindberg, Greg Jenkins, Haley Stidham, Paul Hitchcock, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cody Robinson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and Translator W202BHNINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.